and let that ride. I gotta let this ride. I'm in one of those moods. I'm in one of them earth, wind, and fire moods. Yeah, you know. Baby, you ever get in one of them earth, wind, and fire moods? This is shit right here. Ooh, baby. That made me want to put on some damn secret pants on y'all ass. Man, what's going on, man? We late night tonight, man. I'm here. Welcome to the Tariq Radio Show. Glad to have everybody in here. We're late night, but we're doing it right. The phone number is 818-850-5404, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to chop up some real good game on tonight's show. So y'all call me if your asses are up. What y'all doing up this late anyway? Ain't nothing open this time of night except a crack pipe and legs. But anyway, I'm going to take a commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. So y'all let everybody know that I'm live right now. And don't y'all move a muscle, because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't y'all move a goddamn muscle.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
What's up, family? You know it's time to get your Second Amendment game in order, and you need to check out one of the most well-respected black-owned gun stores / consultants in the United States. Redstone Firearms. Not only can you purchase guns from them, they also offer consulting, educating, and training about your weapons. They will also give you a lot of good game on gun laws and so much more. You guys need to go right now to RedstoneFirearms.com. That's RedstoneFirearms.com. Also, follow them on Instagram at Redstone Firearms and follow them on Facebook at Redstone Firearms. What's going on, family? It's player season right about now. It's Among Us, so it's time for you to get suited and booted out here so they can start choosing up on you. That's why you got to get your gear game together, and you start off by getting your tie game in order. That's why you need to check out HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. Now, Harrison Blake Apparel, they have all types of men accessories like neckties, bow ties, pocket squares, all that good stuff to accentuate your suit game. They also have monthly subscription packages on the site, and if you use the coupon code Tariq, you can get 25% off on everything on the site. So you need to check out right now, HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. What's up, family? You guys need to check out RoyallyMelanated.com. Now, Royally Melanated is a publishing company that offers empowering African-American children's books and other empowering content. They are currently having a back-to-school sale with many items heavily discounted. They also offer one-on-one consultations, and they offer services that range from editing, idea cultivation, distribution, and promotions. So check out the sales and services over at RoyallyMelanated.com right now.
What if I told you there was a place in this world where black people own their community, where black people run the politics and control all the commerce coming in and out? What if I told you there's a place where we police our own community, where we deal with crime and justice without the need of the government? What if I told you there was a place where mothers, fathers, grandmothers, children, workers, and gangsters work for one thing, the strength, survival, and growth of the community? Welcome to the City of God. Hear a first-hand account in this new documentary about the realities of being an independent community and the work and sacrifice, the blood and pain that you need to maintain it. Apply for an early screening at tinyurl.com/City of God Enforcer. That's tinyurl.com/City of God Enforcer.
Check out this brand new book called Once Upon a Time in Gatlinburg. This book is written by a newcomer named Daniel Hughes. Now, this book is about a black introverted teenager named Jeremiah, who's 17 years old. He's going through abandonment issues. He's going through self-awareness issues. He's going through growing pains. So it's a real deep story you need to check out. Once Upon a Time in Gatlinburg. It's available now on Amazon. You can get the paperback for $8, and you can get the Kindle version for $3. So again, get Once Upon a Time in Gatlinburg on Amazon right now. What's up, family? You need to check out the brand new website called ashkicken.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to ashkicken.com. That's ashkicken.com. What up, everybody? It's your boy Crispy, everybody, and I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody, and you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody, and you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody, where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody, I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody, and I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
Yo, we are back right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in on this lovely late night broadcast. I'm here with y'all. We're intimate. We're family. We're chopping it up. Glad to have y'all here. The phone number is 818-850-5404. Don't forget, family, the movie 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti, will be in theaters nationwide October, which is next month, 19th. That's on a Thursday. One day showing in most cities. And let me let you know what cities they are going to be in so far. And also, you can go to 1804movie.com to look and get tickets, get advanced tickets right now. It's going to be in two theaters in Baltimore. It's going to be at the Harbor East Theater and the Senator Theater. Right now, at the moment, you can get tickets at the Harbor East Theater in Baltimore on 1804movie.com. In Boston, it's going to be at the Kendall Theater. In Dallas, it's going to be at the Magnolia Theater. In Denver, it's going to be at the Mayan Theater. In Detroit, it's going to be at the Main Arts Theater. In Houston, it's going to be at the River Oaks Theater. In Indianapolis, it's going to be at the Glendale Theater. In Miami, it's going to be at the Merrick Park Theater. Minneapolis at the Aetna Theater, Philadelphia at the Ritz-Bortz Theater, Raleigh, North Carolina at the Mission Valley Cinema Theater, San Diego is going to be at Hillcrest Theater, San Francisco and the Bay Area is going to be at the Clay Theater, and Seattle is going to be at the Crest Theater, St. Louis, the Plaza Frontenac Theater, Washington, D.C., Bethesda Row Theater, and Los Angeles. The screening in Los Angeles is going to be a week before. It's going to premiere here in Los Angeles first, and I'm going to be at that one. And that's going to be at the Area Fine Arts Theater. That's on Wilshire Boulevard, and that's going to be October 12th. That's going to be the red carpet premiere in Los Angeles. But all the other cities is going to be October 19th. Get your tickets now. Do not complain that they're sold out next month. almost half the tickets are sold in most of these theaters right now. So you need to get your tickets right now. We're trying to add Atlanta. Usually we get the Plaza Theater. The Plaza Theater is kind of, so we're trying to get Atlanta. New York, we might have it at the Sunshine Theater in New York. We're waiting to hear from them. There's a few more spots being added. So all my promoters, y'all know, holla at me. All my promoters out there, holla at me. Let's do business. Y'all know what time it is. Let's do business. But 1804 is the hottest new documentary of the year. People are anticipating it very heavily. And you guys are going to really enjoy it. We're getting all the sound design stuff knocked out right now. So we're getting it popping, family. But again, 1804movie.com, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of folks calling up this late. Let's see who we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello?
Hey.
Tariq Nasheed, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who is this?
This is T. I met you at the Hidden Colors screening.
Out here in Los Angeles?
Yeah. I gave you fudge. You said it was too sweet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember you. You're the girl from the UK, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember. She's a sweetheart. She brought me some fudge, and this was the sweetest fucking fudge ever. I took one bite of that and got diabetes. God damn, what you put in that fudge? My God. It was sweet as hell. Well, how are you?
I'm good. I've been trying to call up because I really wanted to talk to you about Black Guns Matter.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. I find it interesting because I didn't realize that they get a lot of, well, he gets a lot of donations from Republicans and other white people that are kind of suspect.
Yeah.
And I know that Tommy Lauren is a huge supporter of Black Guns Matter. And it's just, I don't know, it's really making me look at it sideways.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah.
When you question him on this, Marsh Torre, when you question him on this, he seems to get upset. And I never really seem to get like an answer. And I know somebody made a YouTube video talking about this, and it really made me look at Black Guns Matter sideways.
Yeah, for those who don't know what she's talking about a brother named Marge Teray, and I had Marge on the show before, and Marge was cool. You know, he was very cordial, and, you know, we were cordial with each other. He was saying some good stuff on the phone, but I'm going to be very honest. Marge, the brother has some of the people that he's aligned himself with, that kind of made me fall back from brother. I'm not trying to shit on him or throw him under the bus, but my man has way too many questionable people that he's surrounding himself with. So, to be honest, I can't really co-sign Marge Teray like that. And I'm not shitting on him because I know he's a listener. And I'm not shitting on the dude. You know, personally, he sounded like a cool cat or whatever. But the ties that I see dude clicked in with, man, I can't co-sign that shit. There's a lot of questionable stuff. And also, he had a beef with my man Isaiah Washington. There was some shit going on with them, and Isaiah's my dude. I talked to Isaiah tonight, as a matter of fact. That's my dude. So I don't know where Marge is coming from, so I can't really co-sign the brother like that. I can't give my man a co-sign like that. It's just all over the place, and we can't have any fence sitters at this time, man. We can't. You're going to have to be 100% about Black empowerment, or you're going to be over there with the white supremacists and I don't even call them Republicans. These people are not conservative, like the NRA and all these people. These are just white supremacists. I don't give them all these other softball names. I call them what they are. And if anybody's co-signing them or aligning themselves with them, I got to fall back from you. That's just where I am with it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you was breaking up a little bit, but it just it made me think twice about why they're so supportive of us having guns. I found that very baffling.
Well, the thing is, I don't know. Their angle is real funny, style, because look, Tommy Lauren and all these people, the NRA, you know, these people, they'll set us up for the trick bag, you know. Because they know that we'll get our brains blown out even if we're legal gun owners. So they don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what angle they're coming from. I don't know their angle, but it's real funny style and it's real janky. if they're really about, and I'm talking about the NRA and people like that, if they were really about black folks owning guns or whatever legally, they would have done something or said something about Philando Castile getting executed for being a legal gun owner, and they said nothing. So that let me know everything I needed to know about them, and anybody co-signing them should be looked at suspect. But anyway, I digress. Other than that, how are you, dear?
Yeah.
How are you? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I saw you've been a late night show, and I was trying to call up on Sunday, and I couldn't get through, so I thought I'll try right now.
No doubt. Are you coming to the premiere of Hidden Cup? Not here, of 1804?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. All right. And don't, my cousin will be there.
Good. Don't bring me no chocolate. Don't bring me none of that English fucking chocolate. I don't need it. All right, dear.
No more fudge.
Yes. Thank you for the call, dear.
All right, thank you.
All right. Yes, indeed. So, you know what I want to talk about? A lot of people are talking about the DACA controversy. The Dreamers. For those who don't know, this is like an immigration program that brought in the children of illegal immigrants. They could apply to stay here, I think, semi-legally. I don't know all the logistics of it. But a lot of children of immigrants who came over illegally, allegedly, I think illegally, I don't know how the shit works, but the children of immigrants, many of them are part of the DACA program. They call them Dreamers, and they were, you know, they were allowed to live here and work, and, you know, there's a real big controversy about it because Donald Trump has pulled the program away. He stopped the program. Donald Trump has stopped that program. And this was something that Obama put together. Obama did this, and the biggest beneficiaries of this DACA program are Hispanic groups. Almost a million of the people who receive the benefits of this program are Hispanic. There are other groups, but the majority, and it's more than a million, actually. Once you look at the numbers, it's more than a million. And this negatively affects the Hispanic community more than anything. And now that this program has been pulled by Trump and the Trump administration, people are crying foul. People are saying this is white supremacy, which it is. It is a bad thing that they're doing this. Let's be very clear. What they're doing, pulling this program, and they're going to start deporting Hispanic children and Hispanic people who grew up here. They're going to start deporting them to other countries, countries they don't even have any recollection of. They're going to start deporting them. And that's fucked up. But the thing is, that ain't our problem as black folks. Let me let that sink in for a minute. Is it fucked up? Yes. Is it messed up? Yes. Is it white supremacy? Yes. But is it black people's problem? No. It is not our problem. I know that sounds cold, but no. Other people are going to have to learn how to deal with their problems and hold their own nuts. I don't advocate anybody having their children taken away, none of that stuff, but that's not our problem as black people. As black people collectively, we have a set of issues we have to deal with. We're going to start treating other groups the same way they treat us. And I've been arguing with people on Twitter because people are upset with black folks because we're not stepping out there in the forefront, aligning ourselves with all these people. Now, people are trying to shame us for not stepping up in the forefront, helping out the Dreamers and the DACA people. Because black people are learning how to get on code and to let other people hold their own nuts, which is what we should have been doing a long time ago. Is it unfortunate? Yes, but it's not our problem. It's not our problem whatsoever. Black people, we got bigger fish to fry that we have to hold our own nuts about. Nobody's helping us. Nobody's coming to our assistance. Nobody's throwing us a lifeline. Nobody's standing in the forefront for us, especially these immigrant groups. Now, I will give credit where credit is due. I will give props to some of the people that they call Antifa. Some of these white people out here who are non-racist aren't putting in some work. I will give them their props. If you put in work, you out there throwing them hands, I give you props. I will give you props. I will give some of them props. But as far as these immigrant groups ain't doing shit for us. Black folks, no. I mean, let's be real. These immigrant groups are not and have not done shit for black people. If we're going to talk real, let's just talk real. We got to talk truth to power tonight, family. And black people, we have bent over backwards for some of these other groups. Historically. And me and my brother from Hot 97, Ebro, old man Ebro, shout out to Ebro. I like Ebro. Ebro's a good dude. That's my brother. A lot of respect for Ebro. Let me read a tweet Ebro put out. Now, and I said I respectfully disagree with this. Let me find that tweet. And me and Ebro, we were respectfully going back and forth with each other about this. Ebro said, if you are black and not discussing DACA right now, you are dumb. This shit is about whitening of America. Wake the fuck up. And I said, my brother, you my dude, I respectfully disagree. Because the thing is, black folks, we've been calling out white supremacy. We've been calling out non-justice from the giddy up. We always do. All these other groups out here, they've been trying to align themselves with white supremacy. And what happened is white supremacy turned around, bit them in the ass, and now they're looking over here at us to save them, and we ain't saving you no more. We're taking the capes off. Black folks are taking the capes off. We're done saving. Saving time is over. And the thing is, we were going back and forth, my man Ebro. Let me read some of the tweets. And a lot of other people, and understand, there's a couple of coons and bedwinches who want to jump out there and hold up a DACA sign. But no, for the most part, black people are sitting this one out, as we should. Let me read some more of Ebro's tweets if I can find. A lot of people were jumping in the mix. I'm trying to see some more tweets. I can't find them now because it was a whole bunch of people jumping in the conversation. But my man was like, hey, man, that's what they're trying to colonize us. They're trying to keep us with a slave plantation mentality against each other. The thing is, black folks, we don't want to be on the plantation, period. There are too many white Hispanics who want to be on the plantation as overseers. And that's the problem. So people are going to have to hold them nuts. And my man was saying, hey, man, it's all about love. We got to love each other. We got to love one another. I'm like, man, that love has been one-sided. And some people are also saying, they were like, well, look, it ain't all Hispanics. There's some black people from Nigeria, from this country. They're affected by DACA, but that's only a small number. Do you know it's less than like 2,000 of like Nigerians here. It's a very small percentage of black people who are really affected by that DACA thing. It's not enough for us to get our feet in the game. I'll put it that way. Any black folks affected by it negatively, we'll look out for them personally. I got them. If they need some, I got them. But it's not a significant number where we should get involved as a collective group. See, the thing is, I got to talk to the Hispanic community tonight. I really want to talk to y'all tonight. Oh my God, I got a lot of Hispanic fans and listeners, and much love to you. But we're going to have to talk about the schizophrenia and the confusion and the fence sitting within Hispanic society. We got to talk about that. Because for too long, there are too many people within Hispanic society who want to sit on the fence when it comes to dealing with white supremacy. You want to be brown and minority and people of color when it's convenient. And when the coast is clear, you want to be team white supremacy. And this is the problem, my Hispanic brethren and sistren. You can't have it both ways. I mean, we're going to have to put this shit out here in the forefront. You can't have it both ways, people. You can't sit up here and be team white supremacy. Most of you classify yourselves as white secretly. You act like you don't. Let's be real. And you do. Most of you classify yourselves as white once you get over here and you try to align yourself with white supremacy. And when the real white supremacists throw you under the bus, all of a sudden you start getting a little tan. You put on your sombrero and it's, we're in this together. You come over here with us to help save you and fight the white supremacists for you while you sneak back into their good graces. That's been the relationship. That has always been the relationship, because there are a lot of Hispanics who are confused, who think that they are Spanish. And because they think they are Spanish, because if you ask a person from many Hispanic countries or South American countries, what are you? I'm a Spanish. You think you're Spanish, and that means European. That means white in your mind. But not really. You're not really Spanish. I've been to Spain. I've been all over Spain. Madrid, Cordoba, Toledo, Granada. I've been all over Spain. And if you go over there, they'll let you know you ain't one of them. Let's be real. So the thing is, there's a schizophrenia within Hispanic culture where they want to align themselves with the white supremacists. And when they get rejected, they want to prop us up to save them from the wrath of the white supremacists until they get back into the good graces. Because a lot of people, again, Mexican, Puerto Rican, all these people over here in the Western Hemisphere, on the census forms, they align themselves and they classify themselves as white racially, when genetically and phenotypically, you're more closer to Native American. You could easily classify yourselves as Native American. That's what you're most closely to. The only thing that's European is the language, which is Spanish. That's it. Everything else culturally, all the corn and all that shit down in South America, that's Native American stuff. So there's a schizophrenia there. And the thing is, black people are tired of stepping up for you, and it's never reciprocated. It is never reciprocated. As a matter of fact, if you look at a lot of the incidents where black people are being attacked by race soldiers, notice that many of them have Hispanic last names. Many of them are white Hispanics. Hell, even today, our brother NFL player Michael Bennett, he was trending because up in Vegas, a white Hispanic police officer, this officer who appears to be Hispanic, hemmed him up and threatened to kill him over a fake shooting that happened at the Dre's nightclub up in Vegas during the Mayweather fight. During the Mayweather fight, and I was up there when all this shit happened, I was on my way to the Dre's club, and then people said, hey man, there's a shooting up there. But it really wasn't a shooting. What happened, from what I understand, somebody dropped, you know, the velvet rope thing. I don't know how true it is. They've confirmed there was no gunshot. Let's be clear. There was no gunshot. So this whole narrative that the police hemmed up Michael Bennett because he fit the suspect or the description of a shooter, that's bullshit, because there was no shooter. There was no shooter. There was no suspect. There was no description of a shooter because there was no shooting. Somebody dropped one of those velvet rope things, and it made a loud clacking noise, and people started running because they thought it was a gunshot, from what I heard. But I know it was definitely not a gun. Nobody shot a gun at Dre's nightclub. Nobody shot a gun. But the police hemmed this brother up, and this is a NFL player, and he complained about it. He made a statement saying, hey, man, I was racially targeted. This officer threatened to kill me, put a gun to my head. It was real janky. The officer had his body cam off, which is what they all do. They never get punished for body cams. Don't mean nothing. They just turn them off. But this guy, the officer, appeared to be another white Hispanic. See, nobody's doing anything about the white Hispanic race soldier problem within Hispanic society. But y'all want us to cape and go out here and jump in the forefront and fight white supremacy, not with you, but for you. See, that's the thing. They don't want us to fight with them. They want us to fight for them. They want to egg us on to go out there and fight the white supremacists while they sit back, creep back, and get back in the good graces of the white supremacists. And that's going to stop, because you're going to have to hold your own nuts. Black people are no longer sacrificing ourselves, because if we look at history, there has been this one-sided relationship between Africans and Hispanics, where African people have continuously saved Hispanic people. When you look at history, and it has never been reciprocated by the Hispanic community. I'm just talking history, family. If I'm wrong, somebody correct me. Show me any time in history where large groups of Hispanics have helped African people. Please show me a time. Point to a time. Point to a country. The closest thing I can point to is Fidel Castro in Cuba. He did help a lot of black people in this hemisphere. He helped a lot of black people in Africa. He was doing it for political reasons. I understand that. And the catch is, the Cuban community can't stand Fidel Castro, the white Cubans. That's one reason why they cannot stand Fidel Castro, the white Cubans, because he did help a lot of black people. But other than that, you don't have any Hispanic leaders helping black people. Name them if there are, and I want my Hispanic listeners, anybody listening, tell me. Where are the Hispanic leaders or the Hispanic organizations? I'm talking about big, reputable organizations that have ever helped black people collectively. Now, people will try to play this little goofball game. Well, I went to a Black Lives Matter protest. No, I ain't talking about one fucking person with a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. I ain't talking about some insignificant person that ain't doing nothing but a symbolic gesture. I'm talking about all the major organizations or major public figures or major public politicians who are Hispanic. What have they ever done for black people collectively? I will wait. Anybody who has an argument, just ask him that. Just show, give me some receipts. Because I can show you where black people have helped Hispanic people all the time from day one. We can go back centuries. Hell, let's go back to Spain. We can show you where black people helped Spanish people. When the Moors went into Spain, the African people from Morocco and Senegal, that's where they originally came from, by the way. They were from the area we now know as Senegal. That's where the Moorish army started from, according to John Henry Clark. They went into Morocco, then they went into Spain. So these were jet black people going into Spain. The Moors went in there and helped the Spanish raise their standard of living. If we want to go that far, but we can bring it closer. We can go to people like Gaspar Yanga, I talked about him before, brother down there in Mexico, getting the Spanish off of the indigenous people, getting the Spanish colonizers up off the people. They got a statue of a African man named Gaspar Yanga down there. We can even go down to Brazil. You have brothers from Angola like Zumbi. He was the brother who actually brought capoeira to Brazil. That was an African fighting style. It's not martial arts, it's Mantu art. I'll get into that some other time. But it was African people like Zumbi down there beating the Portuguese off the people. We can go even modern. We have people like Vicente Guerrero, who was one of the first presidents of Mexico. He was a black man. He was stopping the oppression down there in Mexico and helping them get their independence. And speaking of the 1800s, a lot of folks don't know, when Haiti got their independence, Dessalines was helping a lot of South American countries, Spanish-speaking countries, get independent and get the colonizers off their ass. A lot of people were going to Haiti for help. The brothers Dessalines and Henry Christophe and all these brothers were helping these South American countries. They don't tell you that. We're going to break that down in the movie 1804, by the way, too. We break all that down. Black people have always stepped in and helped out people down in these Spanish-speaking countries. Always. With receipts. We've always fought for you and got people off your ass. Always. Let's look at modern times. African leaders like Barack Obama. Barack Obama rolled out the red carpet for the Hispanic community. Barack Obama did more for the Hispanic community than he did for the black community. He was the one who created the DACA program, from what I understand, to help out the Hispanic people. So historically, we always went out there fighting. Even in the 1960s, we're out here fighting for minorities and immigrants and all that. It was black folks out here getting them dogs sicked on us, getting them bullets thrown and them water hoses so that Hispanic groups can come in and get all those civil rights benefits, all those affirmative action benefits. Where you think you got them from? Black people were kicking in the door for that. And these people come in the door, close it on us, and then get rid of their accents and align themselves with the white supremacists. That relationship has never been reciprocated. Look at some of the Hispanic leaders. Y'all remember when the president of Mexico, what's his name, is Vicente Fox? Remember he said something slick about black folks? Man, these people go out of their way to do slick stuff to us. They go out of their way to throw us under the bus. The relationship is never reciprocal. So yeah, we're going to sit out that DACA thing. We're sitting that one out. Because let's be real. A lot of Hispanic people, y'all gambled. A lot of y'all gambled for team white supremacy and you lost. Because let's be real. A lot of Hispanics voted for Trump. Let's be real. A lot of Hispanics, a lot of y'all voted for Trump. Speaking of Cubans, most of the Cuban voters voted for damn Trump. A lot of you voted for Trump, you're going to have to deal with that. You should have known better, but no, you voted thinking that you were going to be team white supremacy, and they turned on you, bit you in the ass, and I keep seeing story after story how families who actually went out and voted for Trump, their family members are getting deported because of the same man they voted for. That's karma. You should have known better. You should have known better than to do some shit like that. It's turning around and biting you in the ass. I keep seeing stories about Arab groups who voted for Trump. Now they're getting deported. You're going to have to hold your own nuts on that. We're not going to save you from yourself because that's what they want. You want us to save you? No, we're not saving you. Because I see a lot of people blame black folks for Trump. A lot of people have this narrative because black people did not vote in large numbers. So a lot of people are like, hey, if black people just voted, and that's the little trick bag they got us in. See, a lot of these groups, they want us to vote Democrat, and the Democrats create all these benefits for all these other groups, these gay groups, Hispanic groups, Arab groups, Native American groups, and give us nothing but throw us under the bus and create these laws that protect race soldiers. And we're supposed to keep voting for that. No, black people sat out the last election, and we will sit the next one out too. Because I told people what was going to happen. Y'all go back and look at the interview I did on The Breakfast Club talking about black people need to sit out the vote. Because if Trump gets elected, all these other groups are going to be affected, and that's what's happening. The hate is being spread around. Now people want to do something about white supremacy. Y'all never in history had anybody talk about white supremacy the way people are talking about white supremacy in the media now. Nobody's talking about white supremacy like they're doing now. They're talking about it every day in the mainstream media. Now that it's affecting everybody, it's affecting all these groups, not just us. It's just the same old same with us. Nothing has really gotten worse or better from us, for us. If we want to be honest, now that Trump is in office, nothing has gotten better or worse. It hasn't gotten worse. Nothing. The shit has just spread on to other groups now. Now they're talking about it because they're being affected now. And they're upset with us low-key for not sacrificing ourselves for them. See, they're fine with us getting the shit knocked out of us because that takes the focus off them. So now that we got some real deal white supremacists, open white supremacists in the house, they're really cleaning up all the shit. Hold your own nuts. Because the thing is, all y'all other groups, y'all have people who voted for Trump. Y'all didn't say nothing. Y'all didn't call out the Hispanic for Trump people. Y'all didn't call out the gays for Trump. That's why Trump has stopped the whole transgender in the military. They're stopping all that stuff. And people are trying to, the gay community, they're trying to align themselves with us again. They always get with us and do these little symbolic gestures. I heard somebody told me down at Spelman, they're going to start letting transgenders at Spelman. Is that true? In the chat room, y'all holler at me. I heard they're going to start doing that down at Spelman, which is a university for black women. They're going to start letting trainees at Spelman. They always do the shit with black folks first. You dig? We always got to be the sacrificial lamb for the bullshit. But the thing is, all these other groups, you let your traitors run free. You let people who do things that are detrimental to the Hispanic community as a whole, you let them go unchecked. You let them run amok. And the thing is, black society, see, we check our coons. We check the people in black society who collaborate with white supremacy. We check them. We make them pariahs within black society. Like the Omarosas, she can't come back into black society like that. Jason Whitlock, no, his big jolly ass can't come back into black society like everything is cool. He was trending earlier. We call out our coons. Y'all don't call out the people that are team white supremacy who work against other Hispanics. And the thing is, don't play that whole we're all in this together, black and brown. No, you all of a sudden you brown. Any other time you white. Any other time you Spanish. So don't play the fence. Don't pick and choose what color you're going to be when it's convenient. Because a lot of stuff is karmic, what's happening. Understand. Remember in the Dominican Republic, what, last year? When the Dominicans were rounding up the black Haitians there, people who grew up there in the Dominican Republic, people who were actually citizens who just happened to be of Haitian descent. They were rounding them up, expelling them from the Dominican Republic, uprooting their families. Now you see the same thing happening to these Hispanic groups over here. You see, you're going to have to be team empowerment, team justice, or you're going to be team white supremacy. But you're going to, this whole thing where you want to play both sides of the fence, we can't rock with you on that. And we're not going to jump up and be your sacrificial lambs. And somebody was hitting me up earlier. They were like, well, you know, a lot of people, a lot of the immigrants, you know, when they come over here, you know, they can't be too political. You know, they can't really rock the boat because, you know, because you're not a citizen, you could get deported. So you kind of got to go along with the program. And that's not necessarily the case because they know how to get down with white supremacy. I know. Do you know a lot of these alt-right dudes have Hispanic last names? Go look up some of the names of those dudes who were up there in Charlottesville beating that brother, who beat that brother damn near half to death. And some of the dudes, it took them 2 weeks to get arrested. But many of those dudes who are part of the alt-right white supremacists, they have Hispanic last names. A lot of those alt-right dudes have Hispanic names. They troll me all the time on Twitter. I keep a record of all these dudes. One of the dudes who organized that Laguna Beach, quote-unquote, free speech white supremacist march, his last name is Hispanic. So a lot of these white Hispanics align themselves with the alt-right and other white supremacist organizations against us. And even on the street level, the Mexican Mafia, I talked about this before, the Mexican Mafia, which is a prison gang, they align themselves with the Aryan prison gang. This is why so many Mexican Mafia people and Hispanics were targeting black folks out here in the Los Angeles area for a long time. They had a pact with the Aryan Nation. And also the thing is, this whole thing where people can't get politically active and they can't rock the boat, so they can't really speak up for us over here. Well, the thing is, that would make sense if they didn't shit on black people in their own countries. Let's be real. In all of these Spanish-speaking countries in the Western Hemisphere, the black Latinos are shitted on by the white Latinos. Let's be real. Let's be real. If you go down to Mexico, you have Afro-Mexicans who are shitted on by the rest of the Mexican population. When you go to Costa Rica, I've been to Costa Rica, the black Costa Ricans are shitted on. Colombia, the black Colombians are shitted on. I go down to Brazil, all the dark Brazilians are up in the favelas. Y'all shit on the black population in your own countries. And then y'all bring that over here and try to do the same. And then when the white supremacists snap on you, you want us to come save you. No. No, thank you. No bueno. But the thing is, y'all got to understand, my Hispanic people, y'all got to understand what the real deal is. See, the thing is, the white supremacists, the real deal white supremacists, they will tolerate a lot of Hispanics because they want the cheap labor and they like to use you for political gains. And after they get the cheap labor out of you and they get the political gains out of you, they are ready to kick you to the curb. And I want my Hispanics to really listen to what I'm saying here. All you brothers and sisters who are Hispanic and you're trying to align yourself with some of these white supremacist groups, you got to understand this. They're not going to fully accept you. They can't fully accept you. They cannot fully accept you. The real deal white supremacists. See, George Zimmerman, he's a token white supremacist. He's an honorary white supremacist. You know, they post him up as a symbol. And a lot of y'all never did anything about the George Zimmerman situation, by the way, either. You got the Zimmermans out here. You got Officer Yanez, who killed our brother Philando Castile. The officer who shot that brother down in Florida, who was helping the autistic kid. That was a Hispanic cop. So y'all do nothing about these Hispanics who are race soldiers. You do nothing about that problem. And you had people like George Zimmerman who killed one of our children. And nobody in the Hispanic community of any significance, I'm talking about a big name Hispanic spokesperson, nobody really spoke out against Zimmerman. No Hispanic group spoke out against George Zimmerman for killing one of our children. That man harmed one of our children. The white supremacists propped him up and let him walk, and no Hispanic groups did anything. They didn't speak out against that. None of these immigrant groups. See, these immigrant groups know how to speak out when it's convenient. They're not powerless like they make it seem. Like when Peter Liang was about to go to jail for killing a Kai Gurley, the Asian community, all these Asian immigrants who are not supposed to be political, they got political then and had marches all around the country to save Peter Liang. They organized overnight to save Peter Liang for killing a black person. They know how to get out here in the streets to save their own. But when it comes to us, nobody knows what to do. And the thing is, they allowed George Zimmerman to kill one of our children, to harm and target one of our children. And now look, the white supremacists are targeting your children in large numbers by the thousands now. And understand with this whole DACA thing, understand this. Let me get deep with that too. Because see, Trump, when he got elected, understand, the prison industrial complex, the stocks went up. And the stocks went up for a reason. All these people are all about incarceration. Now, the thing is, black people are not really committing that much crime. Black people are not committing that much crime. Crime is very low with black people, so they got all these jail facilities and all these stockholders, and they need to do something about these facilities. So with all of the deportees that they're going to round up, they're going to need facilities to store these people. And they're going to make money in storing them and putting them into these detention centers. And these detention centers are for-profit centers. So understand the money that's going to be made with removing the DACA thing and targeting these immigrants. This is why you can't make deals with white supremacy. This is what you get trying to make a deal with white supremacy. We're not going to save you. You should have been holding your own nuts. This is a demonic system that you never should have tried to align yourself with. Y'all should have been out here in the streets. Y'all should have been whooping Zimmerman's ass for us. All the Hispanics who have harmed us, y'all should have been out there in the forefront putting in some damn work. You dig? But y'all cannot play this game where we're going to be your sacrificial lambs. You can't play that game. And they're going to make money off of detaining all of these illegal or supposedly illegal immigrants, whatever they call it. They'll make up whatever name they're going to call you. Illegal immigrants, deportees, dreamers, whatever name they want to use. But the thing is, my Hispanic brothers and sisters, y'all got to understand the OG, real white supremacists, they cannot fully accept you, because the thing is, your generations are too close to the African bloodline. See, the thing is, you notice the white supremacists, they align themselves with the Asians now. they're aligning themselves with Asians. And this is what black folks are going to have to look at, the Asian invasion. This is something that we got to look closely into. We got to get ready for that. But the white supremacists, their numbers are dying off. So they're looking to latch themselves on to another culture for survival. And the Asians are the next best bet, because Asians are the second group that is far removed collectively from their African bloodline. For centuries, the Asian community, and I'm talking about places like China, Japan, the far Asians. I ain't talking about Cambodia and Thailand, where you still have a little bit of that African bloodline in the dominant population. But a lot of the Far East Asians, they still have a lot of racial homogeny going on generationally, meaning that their bloodline is very far removed generationally from the original African bloodline. Now, in these Asian countries, you have pockets of the original Asians with the Africoid features, but they are confined into the forest and the jungle area, so they're not even mixed in with the dominant population. So the white supremacists, they will align themselves and interbreed with them and have these Hapa kids. They have these Keanu Reeves type kids who will still have the Eurasian phenotype. Like, a lot of folks don't know, Keanu Reeves is what they call a Hapa, half Asian, half white. And that's the goal. And they can get that with interbreeding with the Eurasians or the Asians, the Far East Asians. This is why the Nazis said that many of these Asian groups are honorary Aryans. And the thing is, many Hispanic groups, they want to have that relationship with the white supremacists, but that's not going to work for you, Hispanic man, Hispanic woman, because your background is too close to the African gene. There are too many Hispanics out here who have black grandmothers somewhere that y'all hide. If you look at a Hispanic person or a Hispanic family, you go back into the family tree just a generation or so, not even that far back, there's a black grandmother somewhere. You dig? You go down and Puerto Ricans, all Puerto Ricans got a black grandmother somewhere that you got hidden. Down in Colombia, you got a black grandmother somewhere. Speaking of George Zimmerman, y'all remember in the media, go look up reports. They were talking about how he has a black grandmother and how he can't be racist because he has a black grandmother. They were using that bullshit to justify that racist little fucker's terrorist mindset. But a lot of these Hispanic groups, y'all got the Asian grandmother somewhere, or not the Asian, but the African grandmother, the black grandmother somewhere. And the thing is, the white supremacists, they can't really interbreed with you too tough, because they don't want to end up with a throwback baby. You know, when those generations are that close of the African phenotype and y'all interbreeding, a throwback baby will pop up. The immediate family, they look white, but all of a sudden a baby is born with a big fucking afro. So they don't want to risk that with the Hispanics. So y'all got to know the game. This is about genetics with these white supremacists. And you're trying to line yourself up with these folks, and it's not going to work. You dig? So again, you cannot align yourself with white supremacy and then be about justice. You got to choose one or the other. And black folks are not going to be out here fighting for you. We've been fighting long enough for us, for you, and for everybody else. It's time for you to pick up the mantle and put in some of that work. And hold your own nuts, amigo. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to go to 1804movie.com. Get your tickets to join all of the Melanoid family at the screenings of the 1804 documentary, The Hidden History of Haiti, in theaters October 19th. If you're in L.A., it's going to be in theaters October 12th. Well, a theater at October 12th, not theaters, but a theater in October 12th. And that's at Tariq, not Tariq Ray, that's at 1804movie.com. And also go to TariqElite.com to get all that gear. Ladies and gentlemen, I am out of here. I will holler at you guys on Ustream this Sunday.